I want to greet you all this morning in Jesus' name. My voice earlier this past week sort of disappeared from me. But we are rejoicing this morning in God's goodness to us. I was encouraged and blessed by hearing the testimonies of you young people. And my heart this morning is that in some way I could encourage all of us together as we endeavor to walk out those things that we've heard and we know, and we could walk those things out in practical everyday living, and that we could learn together how to do that in an effective way, and how we could maintain some of these things, our desires that we have, how we could maintain those things going forward. I just want to inspire, especially you young people, to pursue God. I do like the picture God, I should say Jesus, while he was here on earth, he was blessed when people pursued him. And I just like the picture of that. Different instances, but I consider that one of that persistent widow that was shared, he gave that parable there of the persistency that woman had. And lo and behold, that woman, that widow was rewarded with that persistency. Also have to think of the woman that touched the hem of his garment. She pursued after him until she touched him. And virtue came and met her need. But so that's kind of where the thoughts this morning are around, is the power of God in our lives and what is able to do. And I guess the title, if I was to give it a title, would be Life-Giving Power Today. And we just want to consider a number of passages and places in which Jesus touched the lives of people around him, and the effects that that power had on the people that he touched. We all know that Jesus, as he was here on earth, was the essence of power, God's power. It possessed his being. There was more than ample power there to meet every need in which he came in contact with. There were needs expressed this morning among some of the young people, and I think every one of us could get up here and express many needs that we have. But I want us to realize this morning, even though you may feel somewhat overwhelmed by the needs in your life, God bless you this morning. God loves a heart that sees its needs. And that's one thing I think that we need to start with, is we must see our need this morning. We must realize our neediness before him. And I'm a very needy person. But God wants to meet each one of our needs this morning. And in the week to come, the month to come, and the year to come, we'll continue to see needs in our life. And that is important, because when we stop seeing needs in our life, we're at a dangerous place. Many have made strong commitments this past week, and I want to bless you for that as well. God's going to keep up his end of those commitments. What will we do? Where will we be at? Let us realize that God cannot fail us. It is us that many times will walk away from him, or start to remove our eyes from off of him. But I just want to consider, some of you may know by maybe some things I've shared in the past, that I love to see the interaction between Jesus and needy humanity. I love to see Jesus' responses and how he meets those needs that he comes in contact with. And he doesn't meet those needs quite the same way today as when he walked on earth, but he's still the same God. And in many of those instances, he's just waiting to see us and meet those challenges and needs that we have. As we will see, there was never a need too large or too small for him to meet. I think of different ones of the people he came into contact with. you know, the disciples thought they were being a bother to Jesus. But I thought back, and I didn't spend too much time, but I don't know of one person who came, who saw their need, that Jesus turned away. There was never a life, a sick person, or a person that came to him that in some way he didn't meet that person's need, at least down the road. And I mentioned before, there in Mark chapter 5, the woman with the issue of blood. She came to him. She thought she did it on the fly. She thought she could just slip in and touch him and be healed. She could walk away from that. And she had faith that she would be healed. I really believe she did. And for us today, sometimes we think that we can just slip in and all we need to do is maybe get a little touch. But Jesus wants to come face to face with us. And the blessing that woman received as she came forward and as she just confessed before him then, and he told her, "Daughter, be of good courage. Your faith has made you whole." And that's what Jesus wants to do for us today. If we feel, maybe we don't feel whole this morning spiritually, he still wants to do that for us today. By faith. I believe the main reason God's power isn't more real is that we don't really see our need. And I shared a little bit of that before, but us seeing our need is the first step in which for us to receive God's power. There's many examples in God's Word of people who were around Jesus that never were touched by him. But those people, most of them, I don't believe ever really saw their need of Jesus Christ and what he had for their lives for that day. God's power arises to the need of the hour. You know, as a need arises, God's power is even more real for us in that moment. You know, when things are going well for us, many times we lose sight and we begin to walk our own way. But it is when things look bad and the trials and temptations come, all of a sudden we need God. And it's too bad that it is that way. But God's power will arise to the need of the hour. And God's power will never be lessened by our need as it reaches out to help us. You know, we are totally dependent upon God this morning. There's our very breath. We rely on him. And, you know, I had to think of the many times, well, I had to think of some modern day examples of how God has touched the lives of people. One of them I had to think of was just the captives that were in Haiti not long ago. And I had to think of how we, you know, many people cried out to God. And God heard. I believe God answered that prayer. And it's the same for us today. He wants to do that in a real way for every one of us. And he wants to make it a practical thing. God wants to manifest his power in our lives for his glory. And we dare not forget that. God doesn't give, he doesn't pour his power into the life of a person that is filled with pride. He doesn't pour his power into the life of a person that will use it for his own glory. And many times I believe we hinder God's power because of those things in my own life, for example. I'd like to look at a few scriptures this morning. The first one I'd like to look at is in John chapter 2. And I just want to briefly look at a few of these passages this morning and encourage and strengthen our hearts. I'd like to read John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. And here we will be reading about Jesus' first miracle that is recorded, starting in verse 1 of John chapter 2. "And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, They have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, Fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said unto them, Draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bare it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Just a couple things in this miracle here we want to point out. Jesus knew they had a need before. He knew they were going to run out of wine. I'm sure he did. But once they recognized their need is when Jesus could actually do something about it for them. And his mother was the one, I believe, that instigated things in some ways. But we also see that their need was met through their obedience. Through the obedience, I don't know what extent they had faith, but their obedience in obeying what Jesus commanded. And I believe many times today it's the same way with us. Jesus gives command, or perhaps we read it in God's Word, and it's there before us, and we're given a choice. As we step forward in faith and obedience, God's able to pour out His power, and He's able to perform miracles in our life. And many times, our lack of power in our life is because of unbelief. It's lack of faith. And I have to think of, we have challenges and we have temptations. Sometimes we have attitudes, that we struggle with. Relationship problems even. Maybe even sin in our lives. Many of those things stem back to us seeing our need and then walking and acting in simple obedience. I'd like to turn over to Mark chapter 3 and read another scripture. This passage, this miracle here also has blessed me many times in the past. And maybe it's because I'm missing some fingers. I don't know. But Mark chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Let's just read that together. And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, Stand forth. And he saith unto them, Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. I don't know how obvious it was to everyone there that this man had a withered hand. Maybe people knew it from the past. But I have to think, there's a good chance he probably tried to hide it. That was probably a blemish upon him, in a sense. And it's the same way with us today. Sometimes we know we have a need, but we try to hide our need. And we try to ignore it, and we try to go on with our life with our need and not just recognizing and coming forward with it. But we see here, first of all, Jesus just calls him out. He said, Stand forth. And we don't know what this man experienced at that time, but there probably was a sense of embarrassment, maybe. But yet, maybe there was a glimmer of hope for him when this happened. And he comes forward in obedience. And I have to think, you know, what would have happened if he wouldn't have obeyed? You know, we don't know, but it makes me wonder today if these are not just simple keys for us to look at. They're simple obedience and their trust. And in many cases here, we see a simple faith that came with it. And then Jesus, you know, gave him the command to stretch forth his hand. And he did it. And behold, he was cured. He was made whole. And many times it's the same way with us today. As we simply obey, as we walk forward. Maybe there's a challenge in your life, even now after this past week. And maybe this morning even you face doubts and whether or not you really are going to be able to gain victory or whatever you might be facing this morning. You know, come forth. You know, obey the simple commands of Jesus that you know and begin to walk in faith and obedience in that. And God will bless you in that. I know that He will. In Mark chapter 4, yes. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. This is the miracle there where Jesus calms a storm. And I'm not sure how much time to take on all these, but actually I think we'll just read this one. Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 35. And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away, the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And here we see the disciples thought their life was pretty much over by the way the wind and the sea were acting. And Jesus was asleep in the boat. And I just marvel at that. But Jesus wanted to teach them another lesson here, I believe. And they were about to be taken under the way it sounds. And they saw their need and they knew there's only one way that we can be delivered, I believe. And they went to Jesus and they just, don't you care that we're going to drown? And maybe this morning, some of you may feel like there's things you're going to face in the future that you're not sure how you're going to do it. But there's one answer that I can give you. Jesus is waiting for you to come to Him and ask Him for help. On your own, you're not going to make it. None of us are going to on our own. And it is only by the power of Jesus Christ in our life that we're going to make it. And we need to realize that on our own, we are helpless. But once they saw their need and they knew who could help them, they went to Jesus. Now, I don't know what all Jesus meant by, why are you so fearful? Have you no faith? I didn't ponder that a lot this morning. But yet, as they came to Him and besought Him, God heard their plea and He calmed the storm for them. Mark chapter 5 is the next, just the next passage down, and I don't think I'll take the time to read this one. But we could spend probably almost all day just discussing different aspects of this miracle. The healing of the demonic man there. And I think of all the miracles that Jesus performed, I think this probably looked about as bad as it got. You know, coming in face to face with the powers of darkness in this way. Now, we know that Jesus wasn't intimidated by that. Nothing was too great for him. And he came right up there and he spoke with the demons. And by the way, their name was Legion because there were so many. And it's amazing to me, though, don't get me wrong, God's power was not in any way challenged, but it's amazing the correspondence that took place after Jesus commanded them to leave. And many times, you know, it happened instantaneously, but in this instant, they actually spoke to him before they left. And Jesus commanded them to go into the swine. It was interesting to me to see that, the conflict that was there, that was happening. And, you know, ultimately this man was freed. He was in his right mind. He was clothed. And he was delivered. But yet, I just want to point out that there is no challenge too great for God's power, that he cannot meet the need. And I just have wrote down here that God specializes in situations that look impossible. And I think for my own life, in many ways, that I feel that way. And many of you probably could share instances in that way too, of how helpless and hopeless we were. But God reached down in his mercy. Jesus wants to free us from bondages and from fleshly lusts and sin. I'm a bit scattered this morning, so I don't have everything in order the way I'd like. I have a passage here. Yes, and it's in Mark chapter 11, verses 15 through 19. And this is where Jesus cleanses the temple. And, you know, if there's areas in our life where we are hiding things, where we are perhaps, in this instance, they were doing things which were turning the house of prayer into a den of thieves, is basically what he calls it there. They were doing things, sounds like they were overcharging people, they were selling, changing money. And I had to think of our own life. You know, we are to be vessels fit for the Master's use. We are to be vessels that are sanctified, and I could have scriptures for that too, but I don't. But we're to be vessels that could be used of God, and yet at times there's filthy things that we have to confess and get rid of. And I just beg with us this morning, allow Jesus to come in and drive out those things from our life, that he can cleanse our life, that we can once again be that house of prayer. He wants to do that as well. You know, and it shows a picture of anger here coming from Jesus. And I don't believe this is a picture necessarily of anger towards people, so to speak. But he was upset. And may God's anger be poured out in our lives against the sin, if there's sin there. And may we engage in that work of ridding ourselves of anything that is filthy or that is drawing away from his glory in our life. The other thing I just want to, towards the end here, I'd like to shift our attention just a little bit away from this exact thing, focus. But God may also use situations in our life to teach others. And that's something that I saw in a way that I hadn't seen before. We're going to read a passage of Scripture in John chapter 11 of a situation that looked like it got out of hand. And it looked like, in one sense, Jesus left them alone. You can turn to that if you want. John chapter 11, It's the parable there, the miracle there of Lazarus and his two sisters. And that really struck me as I first listened to this past week, and then I read it a number of times, and it just struck me of how God met this need. And there's a verse here. In verse 15, I'll just read this to give a little picture of what I'm talking about. Well, actually, verse 14. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. And in this instant, it's interesting. I don't think he was just looking out for this one person's well-being, Lazarus's well-being, but he was actually looking out for how many other people who witnessed this. And I just want to encourage us, that's what's happening today too in our own life. We're going to experience things in life we may not understand. I just had to think of a couple more present day. The Haitian captives I just mentioned, they probably didn't understand why that happened to them at the time. Maybe they will in the future. Another one I just thought of was the thing with Sasha Kraus. You know, just simple things like that that are devastating. You know, why did God allow that? But I have to think of Lazarus here. God allowed that as well to teach a lesson. And maybe other people through the lives, our lives, can maybe believe like he's speaking here. Let's just read. I think I wanted to read down through verse. Verse 46. It's kind of a long passage, but I would just like to read rather quickly, starting in verse 1 of John chapter 11. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard thereof that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that he said, saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was come, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house, and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she arose up hastily, and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about him with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him, and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Here we see a picture of a need that came to Jesus. We see that Mary and Martha somehow found Jesus, or someone did, and they made Jesus aware. It says that his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And so there was a need, and Jesus knew of the need. He knew that he was sick. Jesus could have healed him at that moment from where he was. And I don't understand all those things, how God works in all those situations. But he knew what was best in this situation. But we see that he wanted to use this to bring glory and honor to God. We see here also that Jesus first purposely waits 2 days, it says, where he was, before he even started going that way. And, yeah, if that would be one of our relatives, that'd be challenging, you know. I don't know where Jesus is. He's our best friend, but he's not coming when we really need him. And then I don't know on their way or how it was, but Jesus makes it known to the disciples finally that, you know what, he died. And I don't know what they thought. Jesus had raised a few people to life, I believe, at that point, but it was not something that he did all the time. A lot of his miracles involved healing. So I don't know what went through their minds. But it seems like he takes his time, and he gets there 4 days after he died. And I had to think about that. You know, if he got there the day he died or the day after even, you know, we would look at that as a more hopeful situation. But he waits 4 days. And I think he wanted this situation to look pretty hopeless for them. We see that Martha, and also we see the purpose. Jesus in some ways reveals the purpose for Lazarus' death to his disciples there. But then he comes and he meets with Martha. And I don't know what was going through Martha's heart, but it almost seems like, I don't know, I get a picture that she was troubled. You know, Jesus didn't come. And we do see a different response when Mary comes. It says that Mary fell to the ground in brokenness. She was just, I think she was devastated by this. Now, we don't know whether they believed or had faith that Jesus could raise him to life. It almost seems like Jesus might have been hinting to this, to Martha. I'm not quite sure she realized that this was possible. But it's just interesting as I read through this and saw how Jesus came to the place of performing this miracle. And the work that was happening in their hearts. But I also really appreciate the way that Jesus came down to the situation. And he didn't, I had to think, you know, Jesus and his disciples could have come past the tomb, could have raised him to life, walked into the city with Lazarus, and said, hey, there's Lazarus, we raised him to life. But he came, met their need. And he spoke with them. He felt the grief. And, you know, that to me speaks a lot of Jesus even today. You know, and being willing to meet us where we're at. And, you know, he wept. He grieved with them on the way to the tomb. And, you know, Jesus didn't have to do that. He knew he was going to raise him to life. It wasn't, in a sense, it wasn't a loss for him. He knew what was going to happen. But I think he wanted to show them his humanity in those ways. He became one with their grief. That struck me this time as I read it. And then we see as they come to the grave, we see Jesus asked them for an act of faith on their part, of obedience. He said, roll away the stone. And that to me also, many times that's something that God asks of us in our own life. He asks us to reveal those things which are not pleasant, to make known the things that are painful for us even. You know, this brought back so many memories probably just 4 days ago of burying him. They brought back so many of those things again. But out of the midst of that, Jesus wanted to make something beautiful. But he asked them for their simple obedience. Roll away the stone. And Martha, you know, this is obvious realities in this situation. You know what we're talking about here. But they obeyed. And then we see Jesus praying to God. And it's just a beautiful picture of that fellowship there. And he said some of those words he didn't need to say, but he said it so they understood. And then he commands Lazarus to come forth. And what a beautiful picture of life coming into a man. I don't understand how Lazarus looked. I don't claim to understand that. But yet, life came into that being, and he came forth, and he gave the command to loose him and let him go. And here again, you know, we see Jesus is specializing in an impossible situation. You know, it looks impossible to them. He met their needs, and with this miracle, I just want to again point out that in these three people's lives, at the time, they didn't understand what was happening or why it was happening, but yet he was using it for the glory of God and for the, I believe somewhere in here it mentions about that the Son might receive glory as well. And I just want to encourage our hearts in that this morning. No matter what our need is, no matter what we will face, many of us are going to face perhaps even condemnation in the weeks to come, or guilt, or some sort of thing, you know, for maybe commitments that we make. Remember, the need that we have in our life is not too big. Let us be open and honest with it. Let us come forth. Let us ask of Jesus, and He will give us what we need. The people that received Jesus' help and power saw their need. And there was a few things here. If we refuse to see our need, we will not receive His power, but we will be left to flounder in our own strength. And in James, we could turn there, but James 4 verse 6 says, how God resisteth the proud. Many times Jesus uses situations in our life to teach us lessons, but He also uses those to teach others lessons. Let us remember that as we walk through life, to accept what comes our way as from God's hand in making us more like Him, more like Christ, and also to help others on their way. I appreciated what one of the young people shared about crying out to God. And I did have to think of the miracle there of blind Bartimaeus. And that one also always very much inspires my heart. He wasn't ashamed. He knew he had a need, and he knew who could meet his need. So those are just some thoughts I have this morning. I trust that God will bless each one. And I just want to have a prayer in closing. Dear Father, we come to You. We thank You that all power is given unto You. We are nothing of ourselves. We are only what You make us, Lord. And it's only as we humble ourselves and receive Your power in our life that we can be used. We just pray that, Lord, You would help us to make that full and complete surrender and continue to do that, Lord. That Your name would be glorified in our life. That we could live our lives for You and not for our own fleshly passions and lusts, Lord, and the things of this world that cry after us. We just pray that You would receive glory and honor from our life. Help us that we could fully and completely look to You for our every need, Lord. We just thank You for the way that You've met our needs in the past. We thank You for these examples in Scripture. We do pray that You would continue to bless. We pray especially for the young people who have shared, Lord. We just pray that You would bless them and continue to pour out Your grace in their lives and help them that they could take those steps of obedience, Lord, that You've shown them. And that, Father, in the end, that we could all hear You say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.